This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 27th, episode 2321, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Well, again, happy Thanksgiving. We hope you have a wonderful day tomorrow hanging out with your family. I'm sure there's no dynamics there that will cause any problems whatsoever. You all get along wonderfully.
Yep. Nope. All those things.
On today's show, this is our last show before Radiothon. This is it. This is last show before Thanksgiving, last show before Radiothon. And we have a fun show planned for you today. It's just going to be Jamie and I in the first part of the show, hanging out, talking about all kinds of fun stuff. We have some equestrian first world problems. We're going to talk a little food, Thanksgiving food. We're going to talk about Aruba. From what I hear, there might be a skunk involved. And we're also going to have an interview with you, or for you, later in the show that I did one-on-one with Gillian Larson, who happens to be one of the longest long-distance through riders ever. So she will tell us how she did it, why she did it, over 10,000 miles since 2014. So we'll talk to her about her horses and all that stuff coming up later in the show.
God bless her America. That poor lady and her tushy. That's all I think about is how sore her butt gets.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought about too. Well, you'll hear all about that kind of stuff and what they ate and what they did and what kind of bear encounters they had, all of that coming up. Did you see the story? We've had more rescue stories in the 10 years of doing this show than just hundreds of them. But this was a first. There was a rescue. This is near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So the people walk out to their barn in the morning and they're going to go do their barn chores and take care of the horses. And up in the second story hayloft is one of their horses.
Okay, I saw this and I was thinking it was maybe like a bank barn.
No.
Where they walked up the side.
The horse climbed the steps to get to the hayloft. Now, most hayloft steps that I've been on are hairy at best, right? Or they're a ladder. It's going straight up. Apparently, these were steps. The horse got up, couldn't get back down.
Hashtag, damn it, Zeus, man. I'm like, that does not sound that impressive to me. A horse walked upstairs. Like, Zeus would be like, I'm going to walk up backwards.
But the problem is they won't go downstairs. That's the problem. So they actually had to tranquilize this horse, put him on a gurney, and then lower him down with pulleys. At least, you know, it didn't say anything about the pulleys, but they put him on a gurney and took him back down. And I hope it was with pulleys, because how else are you going to? There's not enough people in the fire department to help with that.
How would you get that horse down? That's amazing. I mean, getting up would be no problem. Like, you maybe should probably lock that door.
Do you? Maybe. But do you know what they need? They need one of those dog gates at the bottom of the steps. That'll do it. That'll solve it.
Yeah, that'll keep out the dog, maybe.
Yeah, so that was one of the... We don't do rescue stories. Somebody asked me once, why don't you do rescue stories anymore? Because they were getting so monotonous.
All the time. Yeah. I do usually do weird news on Wednesdays, but since I wasn't here Monday, we're going to do first world problems. But I would tell you that there was two animal rescues in Florida.
Of course.
Okay.
Why are you always picking on our state?
All you have to do is do weird news. Google that, and everyone's like, Florida man. One of them.
There's a podcast called The Florida Man, by the way.
Oh my God.
That's all they do.
I should be on that show. I have so many stories. One, a dog that was trapped in a car, the car was running. Okay. And the car was...
I saw this one.
Did you see this? Oh, yes. My God. So it was a lab and a chihuahua. Different stories, but both the same situation. Is the lab hopped in the front seat, shifted it into reverse, and drove circles in a cul-de-sac for an hour.
Now,
an hour.
Those are disengaged neighbors, right? That didn't notice that the car was going in circles for an hour.
Oh, apparently all the neighbors ran out running. Oh, like, okay. Hey, what's going on out there? I love the quotes from the guy because it is just hilarious. Like the guy who was quoting it was like, they should give that dog a driver's license. He drives better than some people I've seen on the roads down here.
Wouldn't you be a little concerned if he's actually going to turn the wheel and end up in your living room, though?
That's what happened.
Oh, damn.
That's how it ended.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Eventually it straightened out and they hit the mailbox or something. Well, the homeowner
said,
get
a hold of the... Why was it driving for an hour and they didn't stop the car?
They called the police locked? And they're like, you know, it seems like one of those stories where the neighbors just all come outside to watch.
And they all
so
videoed.
Funny. the same guy who did the quote, he goes, it's a pretty funny little situation. Made my day. I saw the dog jump out of his car wagging his tail. And I was like, okay, good driving. Oh God! So anyway, that
I love
there's
that
been
you
a
gave
lot of
this guy
animal
a southern rest. Accent, by the way, and not a Brooklyn accent.
He's in Florida, for God's sake. Has to be some country stuff.
That's funny. There's more questions than answers in that story, though.
All of them. Yeah. The Chihuahua one. I'm like, what? How'd that happen? Okay, right, moving on. Anyway, lots of rescues, but we get tired of them until they're like, if you surprise us, we'll talk about you.
Yeah, that has to be different. Has to be something we haven't seen 1,000 times before. And for getting stuck in pig pits and manure pits and all of that, it's not, I mean, unfortunately,
pool,
it happens every day.
If you have a horse in your pool, you have been warned.
Yeah. And it's always in the middle of winter, too, that uh-huh. happens. All right, Daily Winnie time. All right, so this is all the birthdays that I could find over the last week. I am sure I missed some. So if I missed any auditor birthdays, happy
You're
birthday
dead.
To you right now.
You're dead to them.
Yes. No. But that's been a lot. I had to look, and I could only look back so far on Facebook. Anyway, this is who I've got. I've got Jesse Shadrick, Chris Rakovic, Kelly Harmon, Mo Meyer. Hi, Mo. April Shapiro, Amy Lathy, Father Mac, who'll be on a cruise again with us this time, Marlene Loenberger, Kara Leanne, and Angela Prenasil.
Remember,
happy birthday!
It's a badge of honor if
you
messes up your name.
I think I got most of them right this time, except for I think I got Prenasil right. It's look, I don't know how else you'd say that. So I'm going with it, Prenasil.
My daily Winnie goes out to these awesome auditors that believe in me and trust in me. And I say that I'm looking for the ad right now because there is a horse that came up for sale in the area. Okay. And I saw this ad and you know me, I love reading some ads. And I just realized let me read the ad to you and tell me what you think. Okay.
Okay.
This is Oklahoma and it's a little further out from where I live. So they're obviously very, you know, it's country. Whiskey, 10 years old. 16 hand paint gelding. Mr. Whiskey, will he's safe for anyone, and I mean anyone. Your grandma that's had a hip replacement. Your husband that doesn't know a lick about horses but still wants to ride. That city kid who doesn't know a horse from a quarter machine at the grocery store. Good with his feet, loads and hauls quietly, leads, bathes, stands to be saddled and mounted, and has a big puppy dog personality. And then there's emojis and all the list of things here. Rides anywhere you want him to. Has been rode in and out of the arena. Rides double, both bareback and with the saddle. Will ride in nothing but a neck rope as well. Knows play day events, he just needs refreshed. Not a stranger to a rope. Lesson horse deluxe. He has taught many kids to ride. Dog safe, traffic safe, just knife safe. Gelding, neck reins, pulling horses off him. If you're looking for that perfect beginner horse for your kiddo that doesn't have a foot in the grave, isn't ugly, doesn't need to be pumped full of injections, and is an easy keeper, here is your guy. And the biggest thing of all, he is SAFE safe. Okay.
I like this person, actually.
Well, I read it and I'm like, oh my God, do I need another chili? Because this is chili. And I'm watching the videos. So there were videos.
I was expecting no pictures even.
Here's the thing. You remember, while I was on vacation, I posted in the auditor room a picture. A girl had a little paint pony. And I'm always looking for like horses for people or clients or things like that. And it was like this kid safe, you know, 6-year-old paint pony. And I look at it and they're like, yep, it's kid safe. And they send me a picture of the horse in the ad. And then they send me a picture of 6 children on its back. Did you see this, Glenn?
Yes, I did.
Tell everybody about the horse that was in the picture with the 6 children on his back.
Oh, I don't remember. I just remember seeing the 6 kids up there.
He was not the same horse that was for sale. It was a picture of a paint pony. The markings were close, but if you were at all savvy and you looked at it, you're like, that's a different horse. So, and then of course they couldn't get me any video. So that means they didn't want to show me any video.
Yeah.
This person, I messaged him and I was like, hey, I'd love some information. They sent me 4,000 photos and 800 videos of this horse. And he looks just super chill. So I have 2 auditors that are interested. And of course, I have to go see him tomorrow, so we will keep you up to date.
Now, are you going to see him for yourself or for auditors?
For auditors. I don't need him, but I love him. And so I think that
You started this conversation by saying, I need another chili.
No, it seems like another chili. Like a chili was the most perfect angel lesson horse. You can hear his whinny here anytime somebody has a birthday.
Well, and you will hear it. I have it strategically placed on Radiothon Day.
Oh, good. Perfect. Well, so I'm going to go look at him. So if we see this ad and the horse is at all close to this horse that they're talking about, somebody's got to buy it. So I'll keep you guys posted. If you're not an auditor, go join auditors now if you want the update on this before, you know, like next week. When's the next show after Radiothon? Wednesday? Wednesday.
Yep.
So a whole week you'll have to wait. Be an auditor and you'll find out now.
So the last time we talked to you was last Wednesday, and you were heading to the airport that night or the next morning to go to St. Kitts.
Yes.
And so I'm guessing by the pictures that didn't happen. What happened?
We did not go there.
All that talking we did about St. Kitts, too.
I know. Well, and people are saying, what is St. Kitts? Exactly. That's why we talked about it, because I did not know where I was going or what I was getting myself into. And I was asking for suggestions, and nobody really had any, because nobody really knows it. So what happens is my husband's an airline pilot, and there's an app that we get as members of the airline, I guess, family members. And we have an app and we look at it on our phone and it will tell you what they call best bets. And those are the most open seats on an airline in the next like 3 days or next week. And so the St. Kitts flight was wide open from Miami, wide open. There's like 100 seats available. And so we're like, let's go to St. Kitts. Great. We go down to Dallas and we fly to Dallas, and the St. Kitts flight was like 6 a.m. or something, and to get from Dallas to Miami, and then you go from Miami to St. Kitts, and we get there and the Dallas to Miami is completely oversold. So we're like, well.
Oh, so you couldn't get to Miami to get to St. Kitts.
I could have got to St. Kitts. I couldn't get to Miami. This is a very bizarre way to travel, by the way. It is very strange.
You have to be okay with change.
Yes. Yeah. And so what you do, I told Chad, he was like, well, maybe we could go to Europe. I'm like, I have 2 bathing suits and 2 tank tops packed. I'm like, I'm not going to Germany right now. So we're going somewhere warm.
You didn't have the puffy coat.
I have no puffy coat. My child has flip-flops. Okay, we're going somewhere tropical. So we looked and there was a flight open from Dallas to Charlotte, Charlotte to Aruba. So we're like, we're going to Aruba. So it's just very bizarre. Like, so we get on the plane from Dallas to Charlotte.
Do you worry about having a place to stay when you get there?
Yes, of course. So on the from Dallas to Charlotte, we land in Charlotte, and I'm like, I don't trust anything. I'm not going to book anything until we are on the plane and it's like rolling to the takeoff. So I'm like scrolling through Airbnbs in Aruba. on my phone, like, what do you think about this one? What do you think about this one? We know nothing about Aruba. We know nothing where anything is. I'm like, Chad, you Google the 10 best things about Aruba or the best places to stay, the best beaches. And so we're like Google searching while I'm
and on your phone. That's so much fun to do on your phone, too.
On a plane that's about to take off. So I find this one place and I'm like, good reviews. Everybody liked it. It seems to be close to that place, Eagle Beach, that we keep hearing about. Book it. Boom. I book it. And so we get there and they're like, okay, hold on. Why did you book this like 3 hours ago and you're here on an island in the middle of the ocean near Venezuela? So I was like, well, we just kind of decided last minute. It's impossible to explain to people what actually like why are you here? why did you book an Airbnb at a condo in the middle of the ocean 3 hours in advance? Because that's how long it took me to fly from Charlotte. OK, shut up. Give me the key. So we ended up in Aruba.
Was the place nice? You picked well?
Oh, my God. If you guys are going there and you want a place to stay, I'll give you the best Airbnb. It was like the best Airbnb ever.
Do you have a view of the ocean and all that stuff? Of
course. No, it was probably like the ocean was across the street, but the pool was six steps outside of Aruba. It was great. I don't want to bore you guys with how awesome my vacation was. I'll tell you.
Is there anything to do in Aruba, by the way, other than scuba dive, which you love?
Yeah, people dive a lot. I don't do that. People snorkel a lot, and I don't do that. I did every beach in Aruba is free, and every beach in Aruba has these giant umbrella things that are free. So if you just bring a chair or whatever, they rent out chairs for $10 a day. But our Airbnb provided chairs, beach chairs. So we went over the beach and hung out in the afternoon.
Sounds relaxing, though, Aruba.
Oh my God, it was great. It was just beautiful beaches. And food and drink, and we had like a really nice dinner.
Do they
have
any vegetables in Aruba?
Yes, okay. Every place had vegetarian options.
Really?
It's so easy now to be a vegetarian. So nice.
Wow, because I was just picturing fish, everything fish.
Fish and goat, apparently. Yeah, that's what the people eat.
My favorite things. I think I'd be a vegetarian on Aruba, too.
We went to the other side of the island. It was beautiful, but it's a desert island. Like, it's a desert.
Oh, really? I was picturing lush, tropical.
Cactus. Yeah. Cactus. Oh, really? And Chad was driving around. We're like, this looks like Arizona. But except for the, you know, beautiful beaches.
Do they drive on the correct side? Or?
Yes, they do. Yeah. We were, again, Googling all of it on the airplane to the Aruba because we're like, what is about this place? So it was.
That was really kind of a fun adventure, though, to not know and. I mean, you could have been sleeping in your car, but...
I mean, there was a time, too, where we thought we were going to go to London, and we ended up, the London flights got full, and we were stuck in Los Angeles. We're like, let's go to Hawaii!
Right.
We'll buy a bathing suit there!
That is kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. I tell all the girls that I know, hey, guys, marry a pilot.
So, one other question before we get to our horse lovers is, does he backseat pilot?
No, but he answers all of my questions.
Because I was wondering if he's gone, well, that guy shouldn't have done that, you know?
Oh, the landing, one of the landings was like really bad. And he's like, I'm like, okay, tell me what happened. Like, he'll answer all of my questions. Just so you know, we almost did not make it to Dallas. We had a flight from Oklahoma City to Dallas.
Which is like, what, an hour at the most?
That's about 45. Yeah. The flight is about 20 minutes. Yeah. You're actually flying. But it's a 3-hour drive, so we can fly from Oklahoma City down to Dallas. And so it was Thursday morning. You know, we have to leave at, I think we had to leave the house at 4:45. So I got up at 4:15. And I've got everything packed. The car's loaded. Everything's ready to go. I just need to get up, get dressed, get my kid dressed, blah, blah, blah. Get out of the door. So I get up. And I go out and I start the coffee and I let the dogs out and I'm running around, you know, like throwing last minute things into a backpack, like just, you know, never know what you need. And I let the dogs back in and I'm like, Chad's like, oh my God. Oh my God. What is that? What is that? And he was like, I think Danny smells. And he smelled Danny, his dog. And he's like, no, it's not her. And I look over and Tank is in my bed, rubbing his face on my pillows. Tank went out in the 5 minutes before we had to leave and got sprayed in the face by a skunk.
Oh, I would almost rather you said he rolled in horse poop.
No, he got sprayed in the face by a skunk. And we have to leave. We have like 8 minutes.
Oh, here you go, house sitter.
Oh my God. Well, you can't do that. Like, it's torture for the dogs to be sprayed by a skunk. And so I'm going to tell y'all what I'm going to do. I'm not going to discuss it over Thanksgiving with the family because they'll wonder why Chad ever married me. I'm like, Tank is a Jack Russell. He's like a miniature. He's like a tiny Jack Russell. And so I'm like, all right, I turn on the shower water. I'm like, give me the dog. And I jump in the shower with Tank. And
like a skunk? Did you stink like a skunk for all day in the airplane?
I had all of the stuff. It was supposed to be soap and dish baking soda and something, all vinegar, all this stuff that I was supposed to put on him to get him to not smell like a skunk. So I bathed him like 47 times in 4.5 minutes. I was like scrubbing his face, like whining. And I am completely naked in the shower with a dog covering him with baking soda, trying to soak up. I was just frantic, doing all I can.
I was going to say, I could picture the scene that you said you were completely naked, and then I don't want to now.
Get me the dog! So I'm bathing this dog within an inch of his life because we have to leave. I'm like, Chad, you get the sheets out. You take him to the garage. Brent, you do this. Lucas, you do this. Lucas, you do this. Luke, Chad, you do this. Go break. You know, and so everybody like runs about and goes and does their job. I'm like, strip the bed. Take it out to the garage. Lucas, I also got on the futon. I'm like, get the futon sheet off there. Take that to the garage. As I'm like naked, freezing in the shower, bathing a skunk sprayed dog, which fresh, still wet skunk spray.
Oh, God.
Smells like death. So I washed him and I got him out and in and out.
And there's 85 different versions of what you're supposed to do with a skunk spray dog. Well, there's so many recommendations.
He still smells, FYI. Not as bad, but I just bought Scope because somebody said you got to dunk him in Scope. I did all the things.
Whatever happened to tomato juice? Wasn't it always tomato juice for years?
That in your pantry?
No, I don't know the last time I've had tomato juice.
No, nobody has that. So the dog was then put in the garage. I called the farm sitter and I'm like, peace. There's a dog got sprayed by skunk. I did bathe him. He's in the garage. And there's no sheets on the bed. Like,
don't
there's
let him
nothing.
In the house.
Don't let him in the house. He's a mess. And Chad's like, oh my God, we're about to get in a tube in the sky. And you just took a naked shower with a skunk sprayed dog. He's like, we're going to get kicked off the plane. You need to go back in there and shower
again. The captain's
going to
come up.
Yeah. So then I have to get back in the shower and have to skunk spray myself because I'm like going to kick.
Now I can picture you covered in tomato juice.
I can't tell y'all how excited. And again, this is 4:20 in the morning.
This crap only happens when you're about to leave.
You're welcome. I'm like sweating telling this story because it was so panicky. But you know what? We made the flight by about 45 seconds. We actually got to the gate and the lady was closing. She's like, you're supposed to be early when you're flying on these passes that we have. And Chad's like, just don't tell her anything. Please don't tell her. Like, I'm like, we're lucky to be here. Get us our tickets.
I remember one time we were coming home. There's four boys in a van. My mom and dad, four boys in this van. We always had vans because that's what fit four boys and all the camping stuff. We went camping. We lived in Pennsylvania. We drove to Florida, first time going to Disney World right after it opened and stayed at the campground at Fort Wilderness at Disney World. It was so cool. On the way home, we stop at Myrtle Beach and spend a night there on the way back. And we had this big dog, a big dog. And the big dog got sprayed by a skunk the night before we headed back. So we were in the skunk-filled van for 2 days driving back from Pennsylvania. We all have our skunk stories, don't we? Well, I'm glad you survived and had a good time. In the meantime, I'm here working my ass off for all of you for Radiothon. So
you're doing great, buddy. We're proud of you.
Yeah, thanks.
What's the status of Radiothon for next year?
Well, let's talk about horselovers.com first, because they're one of our big sponsors at Radiothon. And I can tell you an early coupon code. We're going to have a lot of coupon codes on Radiothon Day for a lot of different sponsors. So all the coupon codes are going to be HRN. We made it easy this year. If somebody wanted to give a coupon code, I made them do HRN. So if you buy something from one of our sponsors and you want to see if there's a discount, just put HRN in the coupon code and you'll know if there's a discount or not. So I'm going to tell you about two of them today. One of them is Horse Lovers. Horse Lovers, you get $10 off any order of $99 or more just by using the coupon code HRN, and I can give it out early for all the listeners of Horses in the Morning. So definitely do that. They're having their 50 days of holiday deals, and it started already. So you want to go over to Horse Lovers, click on Deal of the Day. Today's deal is Back on Track exclusive holiday deals, 20% off of everything Back on Track. And if you know anything about Back on Track products, you know they never come on sale.
No.
Ever. So I don't know how they got this done, but they did. So it's 20% off today. They have all Bates saddles on sale. They have their Black Friday doorbusters are there already. So you know that a company that has sales all the time is going to have really good Black Friday sales. So you want to go to horselovers.com today, tomorrow, Friday. You definitely want to check it every day for their 50 days of holiday deals. And as I understand it, you can use this coupon code over and over again. So it's HRN at checkout. Get you $10 off any order.
Dude, you think you're doing a lot of work for Radiothon. These people are organizing a sale for 50 days in a row.
I don't know how many people they have doing their sales, because it takes a lot of time to input this crap. So I don't know.
I mean, if you look online, there is boxes for the 50 areas that there's only like six filled in already, seven filled in. This is crazy.
And some
that
of
is
them,
so much
some
work.
Of the deals go for more than one day, so you'll see that on that page too. So you definitely want to take a look. Right, today is Back on Track, which are great products and used to be a sponsor of ours for years. So Horse Lovers with a Z. com, and you'll hear a lot more about them on Monday. Couple of quick things. President Trump signed on Monday the bipartisan bill, probably the only bipartisan bill that's passed since he took office, that makes animal cruelty a federal crime punishable with fines of up to 7 years in prison. Now, this is not, and this is where people were getting confused in the horse world, this is not the PAST Act. This is not the Tennessee Walking Act that's been in Congress. This was a different one. Okay. So most states already had a law that made it a felony for animal cruelty. But because the federal bill basically helps prosecutors address cases across state lines, and it gives the animal rights groups a much, you know, the Humane Society and all of them, a much broader stroke so that they can prosecute these a little bit easier. So this involves horses and dogs and cats. This is all animals. So this is a different one than the PAST Act, which is still making its way through Congress. That's the one dealing with the Tennessee walking situation. And you'll hear a little bit about that on Monday, because that's one of the projects that Priscilla Presley actively works on. And she talks a little bit about that on her Monday interview. So that's what's going on there. But it's a step in the right direction, right? Anything we can do to protect animals is a step in the right direction. And the fact that a bill got through Congress at all, with almost unanimous support, is a miracle in itself.
And it had to do with animals.
Right.
I mean, this is just, y'all buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah,
man.
It's like it's Thanksgiving. The other thing I wanted to mention is that the Horse Radio Network store is open for the first time at the holidays. If you have a Horse Radio Network fan in your life, or if you want to just buy something for yourself, which appears to be what everybody's doing, go to hrnstore.com. You can find shirts and totes and all kinds of things, saddle pads, and a bunch of other stuff that can be embroidered with the HRN or the Horses in the Morning logo. So either one, if you love what we do here and you want to wear it, we'd be happy for you too. And the prices are not bad at all. Matter of fact, that's what's always stopped me, is I've always looked at the places that do this, and it's like $80 for a shirt. And it's like, I'm not going to do that. So Distance Depot put this together for us, and they're doing a great job. Apparently, it gets shipped out like almost that day. They're really doing a good job. I've seen a lot of people posting pictures of their stuff. And they also have the stickers. If you want to buy something really inexpensive and you have an HRN fan in your life or a Horses in the Morning fan, they have 4x4 stickers that you can buy to put on your car, your horse trailer, your tack trunk. And they're like $2 or something. So you can buy little stuff as well. Let's talk Thanksgiving. Now, you're not a turkey eater, obviously.
That is correct.
And every year I make you suffer through surveys and talk about turkey and how many we're going to kill. And I make you do that every year because I just want to torture you.
If you are a turkey, run!
But this year I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to be nice to you this year.
Really?
I figured after 10 years you deserved a break.
I figure after 10 years you're lying to me right now.
No, I'm not. So I looked up, and there was just a survey done. It was on one of the food sites of the most popular Thanksgiving side dishes and the most hated side dishes for Thanksgiving of all time. So now, I figured that's the only thing you eat. because you're not eating ham or turkey, so you're probably eating the side dishes, right?
True, correct.
Yeah, so I figured that's all you get. And to be honest, most people eat more side dishes than they do turkey when you think about it, right?
Well, usually I go to Trader Joe's and I buy that tofurkey thing, and it's got all the side dishes and everything. It's like a boxed vegan meal. Tofurkey. It's delicious. Oh, it's however, I didn't get to Trader Joe's this year, so.
Did you see the marijuana-infused turkey gravy that's being sold everywhere?
Oh, God. Now something else I have to worry about.
No, if you're having a little problem with the in-laws house, just say, I'm bringing the gravy. Don't tell them. Everybody will be really mellow for the whole day.
Oh, my
day.
God. That's hilarious.
All right. So the most popular Thanksgiving side dishes. And let's see. Now, I'll go down the list, and we'll see which ones you eat and I eat. And I don't eat very many vegetables, and I think you will probably eat all of these. So we'll find out. Corn is number 12, of course. I love corn. I eat corn, everything. Except cream corn. Cream corn is awful.
Ew, yeah,
that is awful.
Gross. Yeah. Were you forced to eat that as a child?
Yes, and it's just, yes. I don't know who invented that.
Out of a can.
Was that a Southern thing, cream corn? Or is it
know.
Just a canned Campbell's thing? I don't know.
It's just a canned thing. It's like, hey, we got all this corn on the floor. Get up and put it in a can. We'll call it cream.
Glazed carrots. I love glazed carrots. We actually put agave on top. It's so good with agave. Candied yams. I was never a yam person. Do you eat yams?
Is a yam like a sweet potato?
Yeah, it's like that yellowish thing. Candied yams.
No, I'm not going to eat a sweet potato.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'll eat sweet potato fries.
Then you won't eat the sweet potato casserole, the one. Which ones? Does the yams or the sweet potato casserole that have the marshmallows on top?
I don't know, but anyway, that's gross.
Okay. That's neither one
gross.
For you. Okay.
And marshmallows are definitely not vegetarian.
Oh, that's true, isn't it?
Mm.
I bet you can buy vegetarian marshmallows.
You can at Trader Joe's.
Okay. 9, creamed spinach. Again, creamed.
Again. Hey, y'all, we got some spinach on the floor. Just scrape it up. Put it in a can.
Do you eat cooked spinach, period?
I do, yes. I love cooked spinach.
But not cream.
But it has to be really fresh spinach that I cook, not out of the freezer.
What do you put in it?
What do I put in?
Yeah, just butter, or what do you use with it?
So if I'm going to cook like sautéed spinach, I'll take a lot of like big garlic cloves and olive oil, and I'll like sauté it all together.
Okay. So just like the skunk, you don't want to be in the plane after.
No, don't kiss me after that. But
how about Brussels sprouts? How are you on Brussels sprouts?
Okay, so for the first time ever last year, because we lived here, my mother-in-law for Thanksgiving literally will make corn and peas. That's her vegetables. That's what
I love
she's
your mother-in-law.
Have. Corn and peas, because that's all my father-in-law will eat, because yeah, that's all y'all eat. So I decided to make roasted Brussels sprouts with the balsamic reduction glaze on top of it.
That's exactly what's number 8 on the list. Baked Brussels sprouts. You're exactly right.
Yeah, you cut them in half and you roast them in the oven and you take them out and put them in like olive oil, spray them, you know, and then you roast them and you take them out and you put a balsamic glaze, you put them on a plate and serve them. Chad and I were the only people that ate them.
You put balsamic vinegar on anything. On your shoe, it's good.
It's true. Especially a reduction with sugar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a Brussels sprout fan either, though, so I...
It's too healthy for you.
Yeah. Sweet potato casserole was number 7. We already talked about that. And then number 6 on the list. By the way, this was on both lists of the most popular and the most hated. You want to guess? It's iconic.
Green bean casserole?
Yes. Now, there's 1,000 different green bean casseroles. There's the one that's made with the mushroom soup. Mm-hmm. With the, you know, oniony things on top, which is the only time, any time that's ever used all year long, those oniony things.
That's
true. Thanksgiving. When else do you know that anybody ever uses those oniony things?
You don't, because they go on green bean casserole.
That's it. I make it with cheese. So I actually use it because I'm not a mushroom fan. So I use cheese. I make it like a cheese reduction, and that's what I put on the green beans.
Wait, so you take cheese and green beans and mix them up and put the onions on top?
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds good, because I hate mushrooms too, so I use cream of celery.
Well, that would actually be better. I like celery. So
use like 3 cans of beans to 1 can of soup.
Oh, you got
to
like mushrooms to eat the cream, the canned mushroom soup stuff. Ugh. Now, this is the biggest argument at Christmas every year for everybody. And do you want to guess what that is?
The biggest argument?
Yes, half and half. You're either one way or the other. There's no in between on this one.
And this is on a side dish.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I mean, my thing would have been sweet potatoes. Does it have to do with mashed potatoes?
Cranberry sauce. Canned or not canned?
Oh, you're right.
By the way, I am canned. I like canned cranberry sauce.
I want it to dump out.
Yes, and it has to look like the can. Oh, it's perfect.
Exactly.
Do you eat the cranberry sauce with the chunks?
No, I don't. Because there's
stems. We agree on that?
We do. That's weird. Never mind. I'm changing.
Jennifer loves it. We'll eat cranberry sauce all year long. That's another thing most people only eat at the holidays, but we eat it all year long. I actually like canned cranberry sauce.
Yes, me too.
And now, something I can't have anymore that I absolutely loved and would eat 25 of them, and it's on the list of number 4 for the favorite side dishes for Thanksgiving, and that's the Hawaiian rolls. Mm-hmm. Again, when does anybody else eat the Hawaiian rolls than Thanksgiving and Christmas?
I feel like I'm weird. Like, I just don't participate in many Thanksgiving things. Like, it's just not a big, like, I like sitting around drinking wine with everybody, but like the food thing has never been a big deal because I've been a vegetarian for so long, or like 34 years now, that I've learned to hate it. And I'll tell you why. Here's how it went with my family. Mind you, I quit eating meat at age 9. Do you know how that goes with a bunch of Southern folk?
No, I've heard your dad talk. There ain't any more Southern than your dad.
It's not even my dad. Like, my dad got it. You know, he lived with me, but it was the aunts and uncles and cousins. Hold on, Jamie. Let me do what? You don't eat no turkey.
Well, they all think it's a phase at that age too, right?
You're a vegetarian. You don't eat. Okay, but you can eat some turkey, right? You can eat turkey. It's just turkey. It's not like it was, you know, like an animal that was like cuddly or nothing. It's a turkey. No, I don't eat turkey. All right. Well, come on over here. Have some of them beans. Grandma, I can't eat the beans because it's cooked in ham. Well, ham ain't going to hurt nobody. My mom, Jamie, you know what? I called her just the other day to ask her how to cook some. She's like, you just go on in your fridge and you just take a spoonful of that bacon grease I told you to save a long time ago. And you put it in the pan and you start cooking with it. So,
mom had that too.
Thanksgiving was a no. I'm sorry, Aunt Joan. I can't eat that, Aunt Jean,
back
because
to the peas
you
and corn.
Cooked it with fat, and I don't eat that. And yes, I cannot have that because you have made it touching the other food. Like, explaining the nuances of vegetarianism, and then every time you sit down, and I've like got like some mashed potatoes and like a salad that I made, and they're like, how come you ain't got no turkey? You can't just have a little bit. Well, what happened to this? No, I can't eat that. Why don't the quintessential question when you sit down to eat is, how come you don't eat meat? Well, let me tell you, while you're eating meat in my face, there's no way I'm not going to look like a jerk.
And then you've had me for 10 years just endlessly harassing you about it.
You know what? I can take it. But now when people say, yeah, let me tell you a little story. Guess what I'm making for Thanksgiving tomorrow? My mother-in-law comes over yesterday and she's like, hey, Jamie, I just want to let you know that I am making, you know, some vegetables. Guess what they are?
Oh, would be corn and peas.
Corn and peas.
Maybe.
So I'm making
maybe,
the corn and peas.
Maybe green
they're
beans.
They're canned. No. They're canned. Oh. Canned corn and peas.
Oh, I can't stand. I have to do frozen. I can't do canned corn. You know why? Because we used to fish with canned corn and all I can smell is the canned corn.
Oh, that's great.
I put it on the hook.
Some trout fish. No, she'd be like, I'm making the corn and peas. So I would love it if you would make yourself some vegetables, you know, like you did last year. And I was like, you mean like the Brussels sprouts I made last year that nobody ate because they're not corn or peas? Yeah. Okay. Just like that. So I'm like, I'll make something. And, I'm making lasagna. I'm making spinach lasagna tomorrow for the meal. And I'm going to walk in. She's going to be like, where's your vegetable? And I'm going to be like, boom, drop the
vegetable. They're all in the lasagna right in here.
Yep, here you go. And so I'm making spinach lasagna, and it's going to blow her mind. Because like last year, the Brussels sprouts blew her mind. So I just can't wait to see the look on her face.
My mom would have loved that because she always liked that stuff and none of us ate it. But she would have loved it if somebody had shared the exotic stuff with her.
Exotic. Exotic.
What did this have to do with Hawaiian rolls, by the way, which you could eat?
I got on a tangent. I didn't like Hawaiian rolls because they always had like some sort of like.
They were soft and squishy.
They were served with some sort of meat juice usually.
No,
like, you
butter,
got to put
gravy on butter
it.
On top and throw them in the oven. They're so good. How about mac and I never knew mac and cheese. It's number 3 on the list of the favorites. We never had mac and cheese. I watched it on the Food Channel the other day. I was like, we never had mac and cheese at Thanksgiving.
Do you know what happens to mac and cheese when you live in Georgia?
What?
Mac and cheese and bacon.
Oh.
Got, you what? You it don't got no bacon, in your mac and cheese? You got to put bacon in that mac and cheese. What are you doing? Okay, if you don't have any bacon, we'll at least cube some ham.
I had to bring my car in yesterday to the garage, and it's right down the street from the barbecue place, conveniently. And I had jalapeno mac and cheese, and oh my god, I took one bite and I spit it out. I was like, it was so hot. It was so hot. Stuffing is number two, and of course, number one is mashed potatoes. Please tell me you eat potatoes.
I will hurt some mashed potatoes, as long as nobody didn't put no chicken broth in them, because oh my god, you got to put some meat in
the
mashed potatoes.
You know what you need? You need some of that cannabis infused turkey gravy. You'll be in good shape.
There's turkey in it if they make cannabis infused non-turkey gravy.
You know what? Cannabis infused, you won't care.
My Aunt Jean insisted on making everything with meat, and my mom would argue with her, listen, you can't put chicken broth into the mashed potatoes because then Jamie can't eat it. Well, everything's not about Jamie. This is how I make it. And so my Aunt Joan, her sister, who's the nice one, would make separate dishes for me, and my grandma would
too. It's
like
you had the Wicked Witch of the East and the Wicked Witch of the West.
I had Glenda the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the West, and they're still like that to this day. I know my Aunt Jean's not listening. She and I've never gotten along. And so, yeah. And then my grandma, one year, I brought a tofurkey, like this big brown thing, and you had like drumsticks that you stick in with the toothpicks. Like toothpick drumsticks that you stick in with, they look like a little leg sticking up. And you know, everybody in the whole, I baked it, like I soaked it in like orange juice, like I cooked it to perfection. And you know, the only person who would eat it was my grandma. She took a bite. Bless her heart. It was really disgusting. And she still ate it. And she loved me.
Okay. The most hated side dishes of all time. This list is shorter. And I haven't had this. I don't know. 50 years. Jello salad. Does anybody make Jello salad anymore?
My mother-in-law makes Jello salad.
Really?
And she will serve everybody. And then she'll come in with it. And be like, who wants Jello? And it's like all the cut up fruit inside the Jello with like some sort of like weird white topping.
Oh, yeah. And it's always the canned fruit. It's the canned mixed up fruit. Yeah. How about
and
boiled?
She's like, you don't want any Jello? And I'm like, again, we'll see. I can't eat Jello.
I haven't had that since we were a kid. And my mom made it because it was cheap. That's why moms
derivative.
Made it.
Yeah, but that same with her. It's a derivative of animal products, and I can't eat it. You know, I just go, you know what? I'm full. Thank you. I don't just explain anything anymore.
I do think that's why moms made it, because the canned fruit was cheap and the Jello was cheap.
Oh, God, cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. You could make it for a dollar. Boiled Brussels sprouts are on the list.
Boiled.
Oyster stuffing. Now, this is oyster. Yeah, that's very popular in New England. People eat oyster stuffing. Everybody eats oyster stuffing up there.
Is it because they had like leftover oyster juice or something?
No, they put actual oysters in the stuffing.
Canned oysters.
Yeah, they put oysters in the stuffing, which I, you know, Jennifer's mom, and I love stuffing, but and I can't eat so much anymore because of gluten-free. By the way, same problem with gluten sugar-free when you go to dinner. So when we go to her house, she puts raisins, and I can't stand raisins in the stuffing. So I'm always eating the stuffing and picking out the raisins.
I tell my mother-in-law that I'm like, you ruin a good cookie by putting nuts in it. Okay.
I like nuts, so walnuts especially.
Mm. Yeah. I'm like, Chad's like, she thinks she's being healthy if she puts a nut in it.
Corn pudding. Another one. It's kind of like cream corn. Ambrosia salad. Do you know what that is? Is that fruity thing?
And it usually
is cream
green.
Or something. Yeah. And then this is the ultimate. And I can't, if you like this, I'm divorcing you. We're quitting the show today. Creamed pearl onions.
I don't even know what that is.
Do you know what a pearl onion is? It's those little tiny onions that come in a can.
If it comes in a can, most likely I'm out.
Oh,
unless
pearl
it's
onions
green
are
beans.
Just horrendous. And send your emails to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com about anything we just talked about. She takes all complaints, but pearl onions are, I just can't even stand to look at them.
Okay. Well, listen, let me tell you, being in Georgia, some of the things that you would have on the, I mean, again, my dad's family is some country.
Well, you'd have to have some, do you have grits? Did they eat grits at Thanksgiving?
We didn't eat grits. That's not a Thanksgiving meal, Glenn. That's, how dare
you'd
you?
You'd have to have greens though, right?
Grits is for breakfast. You'd always have greens, but also, you know what they would do as an appetizer? You got to have an appetizer. On the table.
All right.
And you get a plate and you get some crackers.
Yeah.
And you put some cream cheese on each one of the crackers, and you have sliced up spam and like little cubes, and you just go ahead and put your spam on top of the cracker with the cream cheese, and how's that for country?
I've never heard that before. Okay, I'll
you
tell
never
you what
had our crackers with cream cheese and spam?
Our appetizer was much better. This is what we did. I don't know if you've ever done this, but my mom did this, and I don't know anybody else ever done it. She'd take cream cheese. Do you like green olives?
Oh, no.
Okay. You take cream cheese and you actually whip it, mix it up with green olives, and you put it in celery. And you eat that combination together.
No.
I'm making it tomorrow. It's good.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. Speaking of cannabis infused, this is not that, but we are going to talk about CBD oil. We have the third part in our continuing series on CBD oil. And today we talk about.
I have heartburn from hearing about all these foods.
Today we talk about, again, Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com if we picked on anything you like.
But if you really liked some of the things I said, I'm Jamie at horseradionetwork.com.
Yeah, that's right. If you like tofu turkey, you can contact Jamie for her favorite orange infused recipe.
If you need help converting your family to not putting ham in green beans, you just call me. Email me.
Bacon on everything. All right, let's go to Dr. Wendy, and she is talking to Roger from Green Flower about pain relief from CBD oil for you and your horses. And we'll be back. We have some more things coming up for you. We got some equestrian first world problems and the interview I did that was absolutely fascinating. And now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Green Flower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
In our continuing series on CBD oil, we're going to discuss how we can use CBD oil to help us with arthritis and sports injuries in people, horses, and dogs. Roger, how can we use this as part of our protocol to help with arthritis pain?
First of all, probably one of the main things CBD is known for is its anti-inflammatory properties. And of course, that ties right in with its analgesic, you know, pain relieving properties. You can take the oil sublingually, the tinctures that we sell. You can also apply the oil directly to the skin. And then, of course, we also sell lotions for that. But it's highly, highly effective. It's probably one of the main reasons that people are purchasing CBD out there today. Works wonderfully for dogs. We have our dog using it for hip dysplasia and really any kind of joint and mobility. We'd certainly recommend that people at least give CBD a try, because for a lot of people, it just is just this side of miraculous, so it seems.
And we know that with traditional non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, there are a lot of side effects like gastric ulcers or liver and kidney damage. Is CBD oil much safer than those other options?
Yeah, that's really kind of the beauty of it. I mean, it's a whole plant extract, has all these wonderful omega fatty acids in it and other trace cannabinoids and things. And actually, CBD is very soothing to your gastric system. So there's just really no side effects whatsoever, nothing compared to NSAIDs or other popular pharmaceuticals that people might be using.
And for the topical products, can that help with, like, you know, we're talking about inflammation, that can help with our skin diseases, like maybe hot spots in dogs?
Oh, absolutely. You know, your skin's the largest organ on your body, but the skin is full of all kinds of little hungry receptors that just love the application of these cannabinoids, which is what CBD is. It's a cannabinoid. So very, very healthy for all kinds of skin conditions, including even acne and things of that nature.
You know, I personally had great results from using the cream on my tennis elbow. It really made a big difference. And also, I didn't have to use as much because I was using it right directly on the spot of the pain. So this is really wonderful, Roger. How can people find out more about Green Flower Botanical products?
Sure, that's real easy. You just go to greenflowerbotanicals.com. You can see all of our products there, whether it's tinctures or topicals. If you use a coupon code HRN, we give 20% off to our HRN listeners.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil.
You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, and we are less than a week away from Radiothon. And Glenn, I was going to ask you earlier, how are you feeling about next year's Radiothon?
I am so exhausted. We both have a cold, and we're both sick, and we can't seem to shake it. Hopefully that's gone by Monday, so I don't cough all day. But I've been working 14 hours a day. So this is the scoop for Monday, everybody. You better show up.
He's talking about him and Jen, by the way.
Exactly. You better show up, and Jemmy, too. So you better show up, because we put a lot of work into this, and you better appreciate it. So we have 10 terrific guests.
That usually works really well. Yeah. You're like, you will love it. Or else.
We have some wonderful guests, including, you know, some big names that we've already had interviews with. That's been kind of fun. That's kind of fun for me, because I get to be in on all the interviews.
And so there's some big names that might not show up.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's always an adventure, Radiothon. 12 hours live, starting 9 a.m. on Monday, Jamie. 9 a.m. You got to be here at 9, and it goes till 9 p.m. So to review for Jamie's benefit, Jamie is here the 9 a.m. hour and the 10 a.m. Eastern hour, and also the 8 p.m.
hour.
Hold
on, let me get a pen.
And also the 8 p.m. hour with Leslie for our party hour. So
that's 7 o'clock my time.
Yes, and I already bought all the alcohol here, because if you remember, I was a little tipsy by the time we got done last year, and I plan on being again this year. So we have some wonderful guests lined up, including Cheryl Ladd, who we talked to, Carson Kressley, actor and comedian Pam Stone. Dayton Callie was quite interesting, and you guys know him from Deadwood. He was also in Sons of Anarchy and also on The Walking Dead. He was in all of those and kind of rode a lot of horses, so he was fun. Priscilla Presley is absolutely delightful. Can't wait for you to hear that interview. If you're on the western side, we have Barbara Schulte, who's one of the best known in the cutting horse and in that world. She's going to be on, of course, with Stacey Westfall. First time Stacey Westfall hosting an hour. So that's kind of fun, bringing her throngs to the show. We have dressage rider Jim Kofert's going to be here. He's going to be here as well. We also have, and I've talked to this guy before, and he's super fascinating, and they're big horse people, David and Janice Granger from Restoration Garage, which is a show that's been on about repairing cars for years. And they're big horse people, too, so they're kind of fun. We had a chance to talk to Paul Bogart. Are you familiar with him? He's like one of the biggest cowboy singers now. Garth Brooks was his mentor, and he wrote songs with Garth and everything. And Paul is going to be on. We did his interview already. Super fascinating. We have a couple of our own auditors coming on, like we do every year, talking about their trips this year. So April's going to be on talking about her riding trip to Iceland, and Susan's going to be on talking about her cross-country riding trip to Ireland. So that's kind of cool. We have Elise Gunderson, who you might know. She competed in the 2018 World Equestrian Games in Tryon as a Grand Prix dressage rider, and she was the first ever athlete to represent the Philippines. So she'll be on with the Heels Down Happy Hour girls. Yes, they're back. And then, of course, the last hour, because they kind of lead, they kind of get the drinking started in their hour, and then we finish it in the party hour with Leslie in the last hour.
I loved their hour last year. They did great.
Yeah, well, and they'll do good again this year, I'm sure. So that's one thing. I counted, get this, by the way, holidayradiothon.com. That's where you go. Phone numbers, how to listen, all of that, holidayradiothon.com. Prizes. There are 52 prizes this year we're giving out all day long. 52 people are going to have a Merry Christmas this year. It's over $10,000 in prizes. That is three times what we started with years ago. And I had to turn some away this week because they kept wanting to give more stuff. And I'm like, I can't handle it. I can't do anymore. The cutoff is done. So it's $10,000 in prizes. You can still call to enter. Call Monday starting at 9 a.m. Eastern. The phone number is on the website, holidayradiothon.com. And you can enter by calling all day long. But we give prizes away every hour. So Carl Early will have 12 phone lines open. You don't have to come on the air. You just have to give your information to Jemmy or Jennifer. You can come on the air, and we'd love to talk to you. So all day long, we'll be taking calls, and we're allowing more time to do that this year.
That gets you in. That is the only way you're going to win a prize if you did not submit a recording.
Can't register online. You have to call. 206 voicemails I got this year. That was double last year.
Wow.
So we have way too many to fit into this day, or it would just be voicemails all day long. So what we're going to do is we took all we could fit in, and we're taking all the rest, and we're putting a special Christmas episode, Christmas Day episode together with all the rest of the voicemails.
Oh, cool.
So that's what we're going to do, and we'll have a special Christmas episode.
So now the added pressure is like, oh my God, did I make it in?
And I did announce this on the special episode I did Monday morning, but I'll announce congratulate Laura Berry again for her winning the opening song contest. We had five people that were in running, but Laura Berry got the most votes, so Laura is in for the opening song. You'll hear that at the beginning of the day. And one other thing is how to listen. You can listen on the website, on Horses in the Morning website, on Horse Radio Network website. You just click the listen button on Holiday Radiothon, or if you want an easy way to listen on your phone, download the Horse Radio Network app and use the live button at the top. You can listen all day long using the live button on the Horse Radio Network app. If you don't listen live, every hour we finish, we save the hour, and then Jemmy puts it up within an hour on the Horses in the Morning feed. So the Horses in the Morning feed will have the recorded hours of Radiothon. So if you start late and want to listen in order, you can do that. All day long, we'll be putting the hours up. So it's almost there immediately, and you can start listening back to the hours that you missed. So there's no reason to miss it. It's going to be on the Horses in the Morning feed for all 12 hours. That'll be there, you know, so they'll definitely be there by the time we're finished that night. All right, that's all the details. If you entered a voicemail, you can still call in and enter again that day. That's the other thing.
Cool.
And your chances of winning are good. We have 200 people on the list, you know, 206 sent in voicemails. We have 52 prizes. This is much better than playing the lottery. So, and we have some very expensive prizes, so you're definitely going to want to call in to enter. Okay, is it that time?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I got to find it. Hold on.
Oh, you ruined it.
I did. First world problem. First
world problem. First world problem. Remember, if you have a horse problem, it is a first world problem. That's just the life that we're all living right now. And all of these problems are real, honest to goodness, heartbreaking things that are happening to our auditors. I submit a post on the day before this show, usually a Sunday, and we do this on Monday. And I just ask, like, hey, guys, what sad, sad event is happening in your equestrian first world life? And these people share their own problems. Like, I think it's therapy for them. Okay. So Ashley has one that probably a lot of us are going to have to deal with. I have family coming for Thanksgiving, so I'm not going to be able to ride while I'm off work. I'm sorry. You know what? After a meal, everybody falls asleep.
Yeah, just go.
You run
out. You're watching football. You can go ride.
Run out. Yeah. You can do this. Chantel says, I have to put new tires on my car, which, like, means I can't afford to pay the maid service to come clean my house.
That is a first world problem.
Oh, these are legit first world problems. This one kind of sucks, though, but in a equestrian first world way. Jenny says, they cut off my favorite breeches in the ER when I broke my leg, and I can't buy new ones because Christmas is coming and I have to buy presents. Jeez. I would be like, please, like, if it was my favorite pair, or like my boots, I would be like, please, can you try? Always get boots with zippers, you know, like the Velcro on the bottom of your breeches. I don't know. Tiffany said, I didn't have time to ride my mare because I was body clipping her. And then the blades
can
went
I
dull.
Stop
before.
You there. Do you notice we never talked about even breaking her leg? We just talked about the breeches.
It's a horse chick thing. Poor Jenny. She is losing her mind. She is stuck in a room. She is going crazy. So
I feel bad,
Jenny,
for you breaking your leg. I know you lost your breeches, but I do feel bad about being on crutches at Christmas too.
I'm really sad about the breeches. just kidding.
I'm sorry.
Jenny,
go ahead with the next one.
Jenny, please, for God, the love of God, stop posting pictures of your leg.
Has
Tiffany
she been?
Says, yeah, oh. Don't worry about it. Tiffany says, I didn't have time to ride my mare because I was body clipping her. And then the blades went dull before I could finish. And now she has 3/4 of a trace clip and it's going to be 75 today. So I had to put a fly sheet on her in hopes the other horses won't laugh at her. It sucks. You know what? Remember, I told you guys the magical body clipping secret is you take 50% Shoshin and 50% baby oil. And you have it like in a Tupperware dip cup or something. And as you're body clipping, you dip your no, I'm wrong. Oh my God, I must have told you the wrong thing. Take 50% baby oil and 50% Shoshin and spray, put it in a spray bottle like that you just bought at the dollar store that you're never going to want to use again. Put it in the spray bottle, shake it up and spray your horse completely. And the baby oil will let your horse go through. I dip in blade wash the entire time too.
Or alcohol or something. But So yeah. And by the way, Jennifer did that last time and she said it worked great.
Oh my God, it's amazing because the Shoshin helps the clippers go straight through it and the baby oil kind of lubricates. It's amazing. Okay. Tiffany says, we did that one. Ursina says, all of my sheep are having triplets. And like on one hand, lambs, $$$. But on the other, I have so many to bottle feed and I'm considering going to my dad's to steal a couple milking goats. Wait, why is this an equestrian problem? Because I finally got my old barn empty so I could put my horses inside if I wanted to. But now I have to put baby goats in there, baby sheep in there. However, they are adorable. So yeah, basically her baby lambs are taking up all her stalls. Leslie has requested that I do this in the most whiny voice possible. And she says,
you're good at that. So that'll be okay.
I know you can
just go into the previous voice when we were talking about food. Use that voice.
I have to, this is Leslie. I have to remote start my pickup so it can warm up. So I can drive the 300 yards to my barn to feed because it's snowing and walking that far is hard. Oh my God.
Okay, that almost goes lazy too, I'm saying.
Oh my God, I totally get it. I mean, it gets 55 outside. I'm like, remote start. My diesel. Hey, it's better for the engine, Leslie. Tell yourself that. It's better for the engine.
Just leave it run all night. Why not?
It's got to drive it. Otherwise, a diesel will die.
That's
it needs
true.
To be
it won't
run.
Start the next morning.
And so, you have to warm it up. So, you know what? You're doing it a favor. Carrie says, okay, I have two big problems that stem from the fact that I have to go stay in a beachside villa in the Virgin Islands for work. First, I can't listen to Radiothon live. And second, a pretty warm blood just got to the barn for me to potentially lease, and I can't even try him until after I get back from the island.
Why do you horse girls ever go on vacation? All they
She's
do is whine about it. That's all we hear about them whining
She's
about vacation.
She's going to stay in a beachside villa in the Virgin Islands for work, Glenn.
Oh, work.
It's for work.
Work, yeah.
Lindsay says, my friend is a total saddle fit girth that I can buy from her for like super cheap, but I have to go pick it up on my lunch break. And then I have to stay up late at work to make up my hours. Have her mail it. What is wrong with you?
Anyway, you're not in that much of a hurry. You can't ride tomorrow anyway.
Tara, this is a good one. Tara says, all my bosses know that my husband put up arena lights for me. So now leaving right at 5 p.m. so he can ride in the daylight is no longer a valid excuse at work.
When did that start that you need an excuse to get out after a 10-hour day at work?
But she didn't say she'd been there 10 hours. She might have got there at lunch.
That was true. 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Let's see. How much time do we have here?
Just
a couple
to,
more.
Can I do one? I want to do Kimberly's because it involves Radiothon. Kimberly says, ugh, I just realized my housekeeper is scheduled for the same day as Radiothon.
Stop. What? You have to do it in a super, like, Southern Cal, SoCal whiny voice.
Why? Is Kimberly Southern?
She's SoCal, Southern California.
Oh, I don't know how to do Southern California.
Okay, I'll do it. Let me do it.
You do it. Okay.
I got to get to her. She's last, though. Stephanie says that I'm moving my horses to a new place that is closer to my house, half the price I pay now, warmer and less snowy in the winter, and directly next to state land so I can trail ride all I want. But it's not on my way home from work like the old place, and there's no goats there for me to snuggle. Bro, who wants to snuggle?
Who snuggles goats? I don't even know goats let you snuggle them.
They're just looking in your pockets for food while you're
I've never met a snuggly goat.
Lisa says the weather here in New Zealand is beautiful as we head into summer, but I can't share any of my photos with my HRN family because it feels like I'm rubbing it in because your weather sucks now.
It is true. But then we rub it in all the other time. So why not? Go ahead, rub it in. All right. We have time for Kimberly's yet.
That's fine. We'll do Kimberly's and then we're done. Oh, wait. I got to do Haley's. Sorry. Hold on. I fell off my horse the other day, and it just so happens that I was wearing the exact same shirt as I was wearing last time I fell off, and now I'm too superstitious to ever wear it again, but it's like a super cute shirt.
Burn that sucker.
Burn it.
Yeah.
You gotta burn
fireplace.
That. It's all the shirt's fault. Okay, Kimberly lives in Southern California. And she does not sound like this in real life, but like I totally like think she does when I read this. And it's like, oh, you guys, I like just realized my housekeeper is like scheduled for the same day as Radiothon. And my plan was to hang out and do some day drinking while listening. But like now I'm going to look like some entitled like horse girl version of Orange County Housewives. You will.
And what's wrong with that?
She will spit in your food. Or he.
You know, if you can't do that one day a year and you live in Southern California, what do you got going for you?
You cannot sit there and day drink listening to a podcast with like headphones on a couch while somebody cleans up. Like, excuse me, can you lift your feet? Thank you. Okay. Move your feet. Okay. So lean to the left.
Maybe
lean to
Chancellor
the right.
Okay. For 1 week. I mean... Maybe do
oh
that.
My God. Why would you do that?
You
Glenn?
Can't give like, up on us and you can't give up on the day drinking. So just cancel the housekeeper.
That's you can live in filth for like a day, Kimberly.
That's right. That's right. It's going to be filthy after you're done with all those. I don't know. She probably drinks red wine. Wouldn't you guess that?
She's in Southern California and it's morning and she's going to start day drinking. I would go with something fruitier.
Yeah. Is she going to go with the classic? Is she going to go with classics or is she going to go...
I don't know. Apparently, we need to find out. So, Kimberly
let us know what you're drinking. We want to know
what you're drinking. All right. Please.
Before we get to our interview, tell us about the Total Saddle Fit Stability Stirrup Leathers, which you use all the time. And Jennifer does too.
And I'm going to tell you what, and I told Chad this yesterday, is that the Total Saddle Fit Stability Leathers saved me twice yesterday. I don't know.
Really?
I've been, yes. Yeah. So, I was in. First world problem. I was like in Aruba and my horses got no exercise while it was gone. And I'm currently training a 4-year-old racehorse. His name is Drax. He's my horse. I don't even get to say it's a horse in training. It was literally my horse. And I got on him and, I don't know what happened. It was windy and it's cold. And he just decided that he was scared of legit everything. And so there was, we do have some trot poles, like kind of all around the arena, just to keep his brain busy. And so we're trotting around and I'm like, let's go up to the trot pole. And I go up to the trot pole that he, by the way, this horse jumps like 2.6. He can, oh my God, what is that on the ground? I cannot go near that. And I just was fully expecting him to just trot right over it, take him for granted. And he just stopped and spooked left. I was like, what the hell? And I'm not kidding you, Glenn. I would have fallen off had I not had those leathers because they just add so much stability. He also decided that Chad standing in the corner was like terrifying. And there was a jump standard that was sitting by itself. And that was really scary. And all of these included some. Chad was like, well, looks like you're having fun. And I was like, does that look fun? Because I don't think that's fun. I like my, usually he's like super chill. He's the calmest thoroughbred. And he just surprised me. But I told Chad, I'm like, he almost dumped me twice. He almost got me 2 times. And he goes, you never look like you're about to come off. And I was like, exactly. Because I have total saddle fit stability stirrup leathers. You guys, for real, they really do help you stick. Ask me how I know. So the wide body design brings in the stability and they have a smooth transition. So it doesn't feel like you have like leathers underneath your leg and they're guaranteed to improve your ride or they'll pay shipping both ways. So you can visit totalsaddlefit.com to get your pair. Now the, basically if you get them and you're like, these did not help me, which is not going to happen, but it just to make you feel better about it. they will pay the shipping to get it sent back. Because I have to return something from Amazon. I'm like, oh, thank God, at least they pay the shipping. And I'm like, if only other companies did that. Oh, well, they do. Total Saddle Fit does. So check it out at TotalSaddleFit.com to get your pair now. They're awesome.
Very good. Well, coming up now, and for the live listeners, this will be on the recorded podcast. We will not be playing this live because I have to get back to work on working on Radiothon. But I had a chance last Friday to catch up with Gillian Larson. And as you all know, I'm kind of a long-distance hiking fan because my friend Mighty Blue does the podcast about long-distance hiking. And when I saw Gillian was coming up, I said, I got to do a one-on-one with her. We had a wonderful chat. Get this. She twice has done the Pacific Crest Trail from Mexico to Canada with her quarter horses, Shyla and Dakota, which is 2,650 miles times two. Then in 2018, she rode the Continental Divide Trail through New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana to Canada. That's 3,100 miles, all by herself, not with friends. She also completed three rides on the 800-mile Arizona Trail, which we're familiar with because we talked to people that have ridden that, and the 500-mile Colorado Trail. And so since 2014, she's done over 10,000 miles. By the way, as you'll hear, she never had camped a day in her life till she did this. So she's a fascinating woman, and I think she fits into the badass category. I really do.
Or the crazy person category. We'll see. You be the judge.
You get a chance. You go to PacificCrestQuest.org and watch some of her videos of her doing the tops of mountains where it's a sheer cliff, thousands of feet drop on either side, and there's a footpath about a foot wide that the horses are on. Do that sometime.
No.
So, excuse me. So anyway, this is Gillian Larson. Thank you, everybody. We will see you on December the 2nd at 9 a.m. Eastern for 12 hours of fun and prizes. Gillian, I'm so excited to talk to you. Everybody on the show knows that I'm kind of a super fan of thru-hikers and have helped the guy who does the number one podcast on hiking out since he started, and I've listened to everyone. And here you are, your thru-rider. Is that a term? Should we just make that a term?
I think that, yeah, the horse people, we kind of have just, you know, adopted that term, you know, from the very few of us that go out there on those trails.
Yeah, there's like 10 of you. So
there's not very many of us. And so, yeah, we kind of have just like adopt the term. And it's funny, too, because I see sometimes in the horse community, they're now trying to adopt it, some of my followers, but they'll sometimes use it not quite to the same way that the hikers and the hiking community will. And it's like, oh, that's cute. Not quite there, but you're going to get it. Basically, I feel like, you know, those of us who try to be like the hikers, but with horses we've just kind of like took in some of their terminology.
Well,
to try to, you know, fit in with the kids.
A thru hiker means somebody that basically like on the AT hikes the whole entire length. They're not just hiking a section. They're hiking the whole thing at once. So let's start with the PCT. You did the Pacific Crest Trail, which is up, you know, it basically goes on the Pacific side, you know, up the coast.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a long ride. It goes from Mexico to Canada, and it goes through some very serious, very beautiful, very snowy mountains. You did that first. What kind of support do you have? I know we've interviewed people who've done it before, but they've had people following along in trailers all along the way. And, you know, they had really serious support like that for food and water for you and the horses. How did you do it?
At least that was the upside of doing the Pacific Crest Trail first, at least a little bit, because it goes through, you know, California, Oregon, and Washington, and I live in Southern California in LA area, which isn't all that far from kind of like just the Southern California section of the PCT anyways. It's like, you know, within, you know, 4 hours, you can pretty much get anywhere within the first 700 miles, so that's pretty good. And so for that first 700 miles, at the very least, my mom could like meet me on the weekends, which was great. She's a college teacher. And so she would usually have, you know, class 3 to 4 days a week. She kind of likes to cram her classes into the early part of the week. And then she'd have her like 4-day weekends. And so that worked phenomenally for helping me out. And especially the first 2 weeks or whatever, 10 days, I started it out on her spring break. So I, you know, dragged her down to Mexico with me, and I had her meeting me every single night for the first, you know, like 10 nights of the trail. And I didn't take a single day off for those first, you know, 10 days. And then, you know, and then when she had to go back to work after those 10 days, and it was kind of like, okay, I guess I'll go take my first time out there alone. I felt like a little more comfortable after I had done 10 days on the trail and kind of saw what it looked like. And even during those first 10 days, you know, when I'd be out there riding, you know, from point A to point B to meet my mom, because I'd never camped overnight in my life with my horses, or even like as a backpacker, I had never just like hopped on the trail with a backpack full of stuff and like spent the night out there. And so I was like wildly, you know, nervous about it. And so kind of being out there and riding along the trail, like during the day, I would literally look for campsites and be like, okay, what like would make a good campsite? And I'd be out there and I'd be trying to like read my maps, and you have to have water. And that's about the only thing I could see on the map. And so every time I'd get to like a water source, I'd kind of like would look around and be like, could I physically camp in this vicinity with a horse? And it kind of helped a little bit trying to figure out how to camp, where I would camp. So that way, by the time my mom then had to start going back to school, then I could kind of handle a couple nights per week on my own. And then by, you know, Thursday night, she'd be back out there to like help me again.
One of the things we do, and I don't think the listeners realize how much research Jennifer does when booking a guest like you, in that we take a look at the pictures from beginning a ride to end of the ride. We've covered many cross-country riders, but if the horses look like they're not doing too well, we don't have them on the show. Your horses looked as good at the end as they did at the beginning. How were you packing your food, their food? I know you had two horses. Let's talk about them first. Shyla and Dakota, right? You had those two. What kind of horses?
Quarter horses.
Quarter horses. You had those two for most of your journeys, and that's incredible, first of all. But how are you doing it? How are you keeping them so looking so good?
And that definitely was like the logistics where I wanted to have a truck and a trailer with me so that I could just bring out a lot of food with me. And then the first ride, it definitely wasn't, you know, as smooth of sailing. You know, I had asked some questions about like, okay, what do I actually feed when I'm out there? And I had just kind of been told by some packers, you know, like, oh, bring out like 6 pounds of some high protein feed and you'll be just dandy. And I was like, oh, that sounds easy. Sweet. And then it was not that easy. You know, I did pretty well for the first like 700 miles when I was meeting my mom on the weekends and stuff. And so even though, you know, I noticed that one of my horses really didn't like the food I was bringing out there. Like I would bring it, but he wouldn't eat it. And then B, you know, they
of
were
course,
still like,
by the way,
out a
of
little
course,
bit,
one
but,
of them didn't like
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. The picky eater who, even though he's working really hard, is just like turning up his nose and camp at the food. But they weren't really losing too much weight. They were like very, very minimally, over the first like 700 miles. And so they were looking pretty good, you know, and I figured what tiny weight loss I did see was just them, you know, having ridden basically 700 miles in, I think we did it like the first 700 miles in under a month. And that's then where within, you know, by like 100 miles later, it was crazy. Like the weight loss, just the drop. And I noticed it and, you know, obviously realized like, okay, if that's what happened in a week, just because we didn't like meet up with the trailer, that's not going to get us all the way to Canada. So I pretty much spent then a while just revamping my whole nutrition system and trying to figure out, okay, A, what will my picky eater pack horse actually eat? And then, you know, B, what would provide them enough calories without, you know, just like crashing their digestive system? You know, then they kind of stabilize, but they stabilize very lean.
Can I ask what feed you ended up using?
Yeah, I do a 50% of a high fat hay pellet. I found the hay pellet up in Oregon. And so now I'm kind of like addicted to it, and I'm too scared to like try something new.
Well,
so
it works. Why would you?
Hay, yeah, right. Exactly. So now every time I need that hay pellet, I have to like call up the company, and they have to like ship a pallet of it down here to California. But it's worth it. So I have a high fat hay pellet called from Haystack, and then I do like a 50% or. Yeah, the other 50% of like the feed that I give them is made up of mostly like a horse senior or a high performance feed. Mm. I do like Pro Force Fuel, which is high fat, high protein.
Yeah.
And then I also do in some rice bran in the evenings mixed with the horse senior, or in the morning I'll do some grain mixed in with like that senior feed. And then the grain is mostly because I've never had like the easy keeper horses. Shiloh and Dakota were not the easy keeper horses, or your typical like stocky, beefy quarter horses. They were like the lean.
They look more thoroughbred, actually.
Yeah, I usually got asked if they were like thoroughbred crosses, or especially if like Shiloh was in one of her like moods. You know, we would get the, you know, are those Arabian questions a lot? We got a lot of those.
The other thing that jumped out at me immediately when I watched your videos, by the way, they can find that if they go to PacificCrestQuest.org, PacificCrestQuest.org, and we'll put a link to that.
The tongue twister, good job.
Yeah, exactly, thank you. So one of the things that jumped out at me, worst, your pack horse, who was mostly Dakota, right? Wasn't Dakota doing packing mostly? Your pack horse, you didn't have a lead line to your pack horse. Dakota was just kind of following along in the videos I saw. Was that the case most of the time?
Yeah. But pretty much unless it was, you know, like stated that for national parks, they were usually, you know, like pretty on top of, you know, no loose.
Your dog must be on a leash.
Yeah. They were really emphasizing the leash thing. I was like, okay. You know, I always pretty much did have him loose. And I was absolutely spoiled. Like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, I trained him to do it, or I will probably ever be able to do it with any other pack animal ever again. It was definitely just because, you know, and I think it's mostly just his little weird brain. I would like, you know, I don't even necessarily know if it's just that he was out of Shiloh, like he was her colt. I think it's just him, you know, he's never been a big eater. And so even when he's like following along behind, he's not stopping and grazing.
No,
he
wasn't
doing any of that. He literally just follows. You put his like, you know, loads on and he's just like ready to work, and he just follows along, and he's never very far behind. It's almost like having him on an invisible lead rope is how it feels when he's, you know, loose, because he just stays so close. And he'll follow the exact, like, even if we're going through like a wide open area, he won't wander off. He'll follow the exact footprints of the horse in front of him. He's very weird.
By the way, the weight loss thing is interesting. I correlate a lot to the hikers because I know so much about them. They also do the same thing. The hikers lose that weight. At some point, they crash. And then they have to learn what to eat to keep just maintained so they don't keep dropping weight. So it is, the correlation is there between the horses and the hikers. What about you? What did you eat? What did you do? A lot of ramen noodles? What did you do?
Yeah, a lot of ramen noodles, especially because, you know, I think like some hikers maintain, you know, somewhat of a healthy, not usually. I mean, a lot of hikers just go full junk food.
Yeah, they
but
do.
Some try to have slightly healthier foods, or at least they get pretty creative with their food options. And then you have some hikers who, yeah, they're just eating, you know, just the grossest, laziest food they can find. And I fall into that category. I like to blame it on the horses. And by the time we get around to even thinking about my food or what is happening with me, I'm too tired to be bothered. Like, I've devoted all my mental and physical energy into the horses and into their care and into like whatever they need, that for me, I'm just like, I'll just take the top ramen or the macaroni and cheese. Thank you. So yeah, basic, literally just candy for lunch sometimes.
Oh,
like,
really?
I am not a complicated person. I think on my first through ride, I had like one of those king-sized paydays every single day for lunch for the whole 5 months. Just one of the, you know, it's salty, it has like peanuts in it, it has caramels, like that'll do. I've never been able to eat a payday since, but for that first ride, it worked great.
Oatmeal's another thing the hikers complain about, that after they get done with a through hike, they never want to see oatmeal again because they make it every morning.
Yeah,
for
I don't think I've seen oatmeal since the first through ride either. Yeah, I can't have oatmeal either. At one point, definitely in Washington of the first ride, when I had those little oatmeal packets, I was just giving them to Shiloh, to my horse, because she liked the instant oatmeal, those flavored oatmeals. And I was just like, I can't eat any more of these. Would you like my weird oatmeal, horse? And she's like, that's great. Put that as seasoning on my oats.
Okay, so I watched the videos, and first of all, you terrified the hell out of me just watching the videos. When you're holding your selfie stick on the top ridge of, well, that was the knife edge mountain there, when you're basically, it's a mountain that drops thousands of feet on both sides, you got about 2 feet of path at the very top, your horse is concentrating, you are not, you're trying to get the scenery with your, and I'm just like in cold sweats. Was there anything that terrified you on those mountain edges? I mean, was there times where you went, okay, this is a little scary?
Yeah, when it's really scary, you know, is when I don't film, because I do sometimes concentrate. and that was the second year that I did the PCT in that film. And the first year, I basically almost did no filming and no pictures. There'd be times where I'd go 100 miles and I'd kind of realize while I'm riding, like, it's been 100 miles since I've taken a single picture. I should probably do something. And so the second time, when I finally started to get a little bit better about it, you know, I kind of at least knew the trail. And at least for that nice edge thing in that particular video, the scariest part for me was a little bit before I did the filming, where it's kind of shaly and it's a little bit, you're going
loose
along this one area, and you aren't like right on top of the ridge. You're kind of just below the very tip of the ridge. And there's this one rock wall where, like, you know, my saddlebags like scrape against it. And, you know, that's always nerve wracking. And I've always heard some stories about horses sometimes there, if they're not very body conscious or very aware of like the dimensions of their load, that they will sometimes hit that rock. And then, you know, when they run into something, you know, if they have like especially hard sided panniers, it kind of like knocks them around a little bit. And I've heard stories of pack horses falling there. And so definitely there, you know, my attention was fully devoted to what we were doing and to making sure my saddlebags didn't like snag on anything and interfere with Shyla.
We'll be back right after this commercial break to talk to Gillian some more about her travels long distance. What a badass.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
How about animal encounters? Were there any that were truly terrifying, or did they mostly hear the horses and stay away?
I haven't had too many nervous ones. This summer, this most recent summer, I was in the Sierra a little bit, and it was the first time I had a bear come into my camp, like looking for food.
Like right into the camp? Like, hello?
Yeah, definitely right into the camp. I was like in the tent, and there were some hikers who weren't camped all that far from me, like maybe, you know, 100, 200 feet away. There were two women who were backpacking. And so we were pretty close to each other. And I had just literally been outside of my tent, you know, kind of like giving my horse and my mule some breakfast. And I had just gotten back into the tent and I was kind of packing some things up, like I was deflating my sleeping pad and whatnot. And all of a sudden I can hear the two women making a little bit more of a fuss. And I can hear them then like hitting some, like, you know, kind of like almost sounding like they're trying to chase something out of camp. And I thought it was a deer, because like in the Sierra, my instance of chasing animals out of camp have always been like these overconfident deer who come into camp to try to lick the salt off of things. And I've had literally a deer try to steal, you know, like my lash cinch for my pack horse and go taking off across a meadow carrying it. And so my thought process was it was going to be a deer. And I was like, oh, I have all my salty, horsey stuff, you know, kind of like, you know, situated so the deer can't get it. So I was like, I'll continue doing what I'm doing. And then I started to hear them like banging on pots. And I was like, that seems a little excessive for a deer. Maybe I should go take a look. And I popped my head out of my tent and there was a bear pretty much in my camp. Wasn't even in their camp. He was coming to my camp. And I was like, oh goodness. And so, and of course, you know, my horse is acting like it's just a big dog, and so he's not caring. And then my mule, this is her first trip ever, she's kind of like spinning in circles on her little like high line, like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And so I got out of the tent and, you know, did my now pot banging, chasing him away. I used a big stick was my go-to technique, and that seemed to work. But yeah, he was just a very brave bear. And all the bears I had met up until this point were always, they took one look at the horses and then, you know, they just bolted. I never even could get a good like picture of a bear on my phone because all I would get would be this like fluffy butt as it's disappearing into like the woods. Cause that was pretty much all I ever saw of bears. They were always very, you know, shy, very
nervous. Well, you had the horses too, which, yeah, that probably helped. Yeah.
And especially the horses, you know, seemed to be the biggest bear deterrent. Like I had seen bears more on foot hiking than I had ever really seen horseback riding, and the horses are kind of loud. And but yeah, the bears just normally want nothing to do with them. But this bear did not have that same fear at all. Yeah. And so and it took a while, you know, it took like some decent persuasion to get him to like, you know, scurry off. And then about an hour later, now that I'm pretty much packed up and I'm saddling the, you know, up and saddling the horse, he comes back to camp again for round two.
What the horses think, by the way, what were the horses doing?
My horse, he didn't care really at all. My mule, this was like the first time that I'd only had her for like a month at this point. And, you know, and she came out of Washington. And so I would assume that she's probably seen bears before, but she had only done, you know, one or two like week long pack trips before this. So maybe she hasn't seen a bear. I don't know, but she was not as enthusiastic about the bear thing. Like she was much more like on alert about it and, you know, kind of frozen statue status staring at it like, oh God, why is it coming? Whereas my horse didn't particularly seem to even notice the bear. So round two, I came around again and I got like a, you know, another tree branch and kind of went waving that around and like chased it out again. But yeah, I was just very surprised because I'd never had that kind of instance before of a bear, you know, doing anything other than running away when it saw me. That was the first time that I'd had that.
Those are the ones the park rangers tell you do have to worry about because they're going to get in your space and that's not good.
Exactly. So I was surprised about that. So that's probably, you know, the only time I've ever had an animal, at all seem anything other than fearful when I've run across it.
How about camp at night? Did you ground tie? Did you high tie? What'd you do with the horses?
For camping, my go-to is kind of like a high line, which is like a rope between two trees. That's usually my go-to just because it's the most like secure way of keeping them there, you know, in terms of like them not being able to like escape. And it's very lightweight, so it works really well, you know, for not taking up a lot of space or anything. Like an electric fence is also really handy, but those could be a lot more bulky and they're, you know, they take a little bit more time to set up and stuff. So the high line worked really well for that, especially. It's surprising how even if you were hoping to graze your horses at night, how hard it is to find good grazing. And so even though you can't really graze your horses at all when they're on a high line, it wouldn't have made too much of a difference because a lot of the places that the trail went through did not have very good grazing. And so I was bringing along, you know, 10 to 20 pounds of food per horse with me anyways. And so feeding that while they're on the high line at night works really well because I have all the food that they could need and they can eat, you know, throughout the night while they're on their high line.
Oh, you've done so many different hikes. How do you pay for it all?
Yeah, and the answer has usually not ever been the same for the same ride. Like the first one absolutely was, you know, basically fronted by my parents and my family and my friends. And they kind of like, you know, all I did, you know, some, you know, sponsor a section of trail kind of thing. So I had some people, you know, the general public who kind of like helped out. And mostly it was fronted though by my mother and by my father. And so that was how I did like the first
one. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Owe you for life. And then after that, you know, when I wanted to do it again, it was, you know, kind of like not even a question that like, you know, I was going to have to find a way to fund this stuff because that wasn't going to happen again. It was also pretty clear too to my mom after just, I think the trauma of how stressful the first one was, she made it like abundantly clear that aside from like maybe the first 2 weeks where she has like her spring break, I was on my own and she was not going to be involved. She was like, I want no part of this. And so, yeah, it got a little more complicated for the second one because it's like, okay, how do I afford it? And so the second one, I was in grad school for 2 years and I was teaching in grad school. And so during like the spring that I was supposed to leave on the trail, which is like 2 years into it, I decided I wasn't going to actually get my degree anymore, but I was going to stick around for as long as I could because I had a scholarship and I was going to like basically teach and use it as like a, you know, experience and a teaching experience. And so that final semester of my scholarship of when I was also starting the trail, the first 6 weeks of being on the trail and being in the Southern California section, I actually commuted from the trail to school for, you know, a couple days a week. And so I was usually doing 3 to 4 days per week on the trail. And then, you know, 3 to 4 days per week at school was kind of like my system. And that way I then had a check coming in from teaching all the way until like September. So that was, you know, just a little bit to keep me going, because I basically had no savings. You know, I come home from these trips and I basically immediately, you know, I'm home, Mom. And I show up with my horses and we live on her property. And so I save a lot of money by, you know, living with her.
Basically, you're being frugal in between times. Your money goes to doing this. I mean, that's your...
Yeah, exactly. I have very low expenses. You know, I had my trucks were paid off at the time. I have to get a new one now, and so we'll see how that goes. But now, you know, I'm finding more creative ways to make income through even now long-distance riding. Like, I've gotten hired by some international riders to help plan the logistics of doing, like, a Mexico to Canada trip and that kind of stuff. And so now there's other forms besides me physically having to go into a job that now I'm making. But, yeah, definitely, especially in the beginning, it was not quite that smooth. And it was definitely just about, you know, getting a little creative with it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I have no magic secret answer about, like, yes, here's the amazing job I have that, like, gives me a bunch of money, and then lets me
and
go
you didn't
for
inherit
months,
a pile. Like, so it's you worked for it. I mean, that's basically what it comes down to. So let's a couple rapid fire questions. Favorite section of any of the trails that just stands out to you?
My favorite section. I really like Washington. I really like the whole state of Washington. I really like Glacier National Park. That's my favorite national park. And I really like the Sierras, and I really like Southern Colorado.
Most miserable section, I assume, is one of the deserty sections.
New Mexico was pretty like, you know,
yeah,
a barren wasteland at times. yeah, especially the southern part of New Mexico. So that might be my least favorite section.
Yeah, and so worst weather.
Oh, that's probably Washington.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, but it's also, you know, when you have one of the storm systems come in for a couple of days there, it's also the most miserable. I've never been anywhere else where I have gotten, like, rained and snowed on and sleeted on for just days after days after days. Everywhere else, it's like, you know, a little miserable for a day, and then it gets sunny again. Not in Washington. When a storm system comes in, you're better off just getting off trail and, like, waiting that sucker out, because it's just so unfun to be on trail for days on end and being wet.
So now, what did you do? This is what I started with, that I could never do this because I can't stand myself for that long a period of time. What did you do to occupy your time? Did you listen to music? Did you listen to podcasts? Did you listen to nothing and just you and your thoughts and your horses? What was it?
I feel like I was a masochist because, yeah, I basically didn't listen to anything for the longest time. And I've gotten less tolerant, I guess, of my own thoughts the longer I've been out there. Like, now I'm pretty big. I've always been big on books. And so
Audible's your friend?
Started, yeah. Now it is, yeah. It's so expensive. So especially in the beginning, I basically literally just carried, like, a hard copy books with me on my very first ride. And then I think by my second ride, I had, you know, evolved to using a Kindle. And I used a Kindle for, you know, a good year or two. And then on my most recent, like, Mexico to Canada ride, especially when I was in, you know, New Mexico, and, you know, it was very boring in New Mexico, that's absolutely where I finally gave in to the whole Audible thing. And, you know, we'll just power through audiobooks like it's nobody's business. And once you get started on the whole Audible thing and start listening to audiobooks, there's no going back.
That's
and so
true.
Even when the trail's a lot more interesting, I still now just adore having, like, an Audible book in my ear.
I know podcasts have been a friend to hikers too. Podcast, you know, because there's so many different variety of podcasts that they've really become a friend to hikers now because it gives you something to think about, right? So this means if you did most of that without any outside stimulation, this either means you're so well adjusted it's unbelievable, or you're just nuts. I mean, it's one of the two.
I think it was that, especially in the beginning, I was still so figuring it out as I went that I would spend a lot of my time honestly just thinking about, like, the next section of trail. Like, I'd be sitting there on the horses, you know, scrolling through, like, the maps on my phone and trying to figure out where the next section of, like, campsite
would be. Where am I
going to
get food? Yeah.
Like, I was literally just, you know, paranoid about, like, what I was going to end up doing the next week on trail, that I'd actually be devoting an amazing amount of my day just to trying to, like, think about that or think about a variety of things that were coming up on the trail that I was just like so overwhelmed by. And so, yeah, a lot of thought went into that. Or even if, you know, on my first ride where I wasn't too good at the whole camping thing and picking out campsites in advance, I'd be spending a lot of time on like my maps while we're like, you know, riding down the trail, trying to figure out where we were going to stay that night. And so yeah, I got a lot better at that and I got faster at that. So that became less of a time suck in my life, which is probably also then why I started to drift towards the audiobooks route, because I couldn't spend that much time staring at maps anymore. So now I knew too much.
Well, this has been fun. I mean, what's your next? What is there a next?
I don't have anything super big planned for the next two summers, because I have some international riders coming who I'm helping out, but I will absolutely be doing the Pacific Crest Trail again the next opportunity that I have. That's my favorite trail, and I'm very emotionally attached to it. It's like having, you know, like that first, you know, romantic, you know, interest in your life. You know, they always have a kind of like a little angel halo over them, and you know, you adore them just a little bit differently. That's kind of like the PCT for me. I've loved all the trails I've done, but the PCT has like, you know, this extra special flair, and I think it's probably because it's my first love. Probably not because it's necessarily the best. Maybe it's also the best. Maybe I just lucked out that much the first time, but for whatever reason, it's absolutely my favorite trail again, so I will never get tired of doing that one. And so I do want to do that one again, hopefully, you know, in like 2022. Is that 2 years from now?
Yep.
Like 2022, I think. Yep. I would definitely like to do that trail by then again.
Okay. Well, if people want to follow you and also see all of your blog posts and your pictures from the past rides, what do they do?
They would, my Instagram's pretty good for just getting like, you know, the highlight reel of the juicy content without the boring stuff of me like writing about like, today we did 25 miles. So Instagram's a good one. And my handle is like @thru_rider, RIDER. Or my website, civiccrestquest.org.
Sounds
good.
Or
the highlight reel on Instagram.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is fascinating. I'm, you know, fascinated by people who have the tenacity to do this. And then you ended up with the horses who had the tenacity to do it too. So, I mean, yeah.
Yes, that is where I lucked out. You know, I didn't know a lot when I went out there. I didn't even know how good my horses really were until I got out there. Now that I'm, you know, I have to find like new trail partners for myself and for some like other riders, you know, it's like, this hunt is a lot harder, but yeah, that's where I definitely lucked out was, you know, there was a lot I didn't know and a lot I had to figure out, but my horses, they were always rock stars, like from the very start. And I'd had them for, you know, a decade before I ever did any of this stuff. And so we had our relationship down. Everything else, not so much, but the horses, they were always phenomenal.
Well, here's cheers to Shyla and Dakota.